Well, good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time of day you're watching this. It's great to be with you all today. Miss you guys. Well, a few years ago, my friend and I were at this McDonald's, back when you could actually sit in McDonald's. And we were there, and a couple of his other friends were with us. And we just started this conversation that just gradually transitioned into sharing the gospel, sharing the truth about what Jesus Christ has done for us. And as we're talking, this one girl just had a lot of different theological questions, kind of like what we talked about last week. You know, what about people who've never heard? Did Adam have a belly button? She just kept, like, as we were sharing the gospel, just kept throwing out random questions like that. And my friend and I, we kept bringing it back to the gospel, to the truth of what Jesus has done for us. And kind of after, you know, kind of this had gone on for a while, I just asked her, like, so what's really holding you back? Like, what's your hesitation here? She looked at me, she said something similar to this. She said, with the pain I have experienced in my life, I just can't believe there's a God who loves me. I mean, where was God when all of these different things happened in my life? If there's a God, if he actually cares about me, why hasn't he done something? That's a really hard question. It's a really hard set of statements. But I think that's a reality for where a lot of people are in their lives. Remember last week, we talked about some theological questions people would throw out if you're sharing the gospel. And maybe these are even questions you might ask. But as you're sharing, they're throwing out questions. And without fail, when I've shared the gospel, people throw out random questions for one of two reasons. First reason is they're in some sort of sin, kind of like last week we talked about the woman at the well. She just had this shame about her sin, and I don't want it, or I just don't want anyone to tell me what's right or wrong. And the second reason people, I feel like, throw out random questions is they're in pain, they're hurt, and they just can't trust anyone. And last week, again, we talked about some of those theological questions and how Jesus is the answer. And today, we want to talk about the problem of pain. Now, this can come up in a variety of different ways, different questions. You know, people could ask questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? Or if God is good and he's all-powerful, why did events like the Holocaust or these tragedies happen? He either isn't good for allowing it to happen, or he isn't all-powerful because he couldn't stop these events from happening. And really, most of the time, it gets kind of personal. Why did this loved one of mine die? Why did this hard situation happen in my life? Why did this person do something so mean and abusive to me? All of these are rooted in some sort of pain. And like we did last week, I want to kind of share some truths of how I'd answer these questions to a Christian who's reaching out to me. And then I want to kind of give you a sample of how I would share the gospel in a situation like this. And then at the end, there's going to be some additional resources to you. With all that I'm talking about today, if you've had some really hard pain in your life, there's no, like, just simple, like, oh, I heard this one truth or read this one Bible verse and it's all better. No, a lot of the pain you guys have experienced, and I know enough of you to know, is really bad. It's really hard. And I hope you know that I grieve over the pain that a lot of you have experienced. I cry over the pain that a lot of you have already experienced in your young lives. And this is a really hard subject, man. No, anyone who's like, oh, boom, I got the one simple answer for you. There's no like, oh, here's the one answer. But I want to give you some truths that I pray would give you some hope. But if you've dealt with some really hard things, it's going to take some time for you mourning, for you grieving. But I pray today there would also be some hope that you'd see. Let me pray for us, and then we are going to dig into God's word. God in heaven, I come before you grateful and thankful for this day that you've blessed us with. And I thank you for the truth and the hope that we have in your word. God, there are a lot of hard things out there, Lord. And I pray that we would see the hope and the life that exists because of what you've done for us. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Four truths that I think you need to know as we talk about the issues of pain. First of all, we live in a fallen and broken world. So much of what you and I experience right now was not part of God's original plan for humanity and for this earth. Last week, even though we mentioned how beautiful creation is, and that's true, but really, what we see around us, honestly, is just a shell of God's original design, just a small fraction of the way God designed it for us. In Genesis chapter 3, it talks about the fall of mankind, where Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, were tempted and ate, and the curses that and the effects that that had on the rest of the world. And we read this in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 17. And this is part of God's curse, or the curse that results from sin. It says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Now, this time of year is a time where we're doing a lot of mulching, weeding. I don't know if you've had to help your parents with some outdoor yard work. But all of that is a result of the curse. All of death and decay and rot and spoil all comes from the curse. Why does cancer exist? It's because of the curse, because of the sin of mankind. Why does coronavirus exist? Because of the curse, because of the sin of mankind. It all comes back to the fallenness and brokenness of our world. God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat of this tree, you will surely die. And I think he's talking not only about a spiritual separation we have from God, but also the physical death entered this world. Decay began there. From the moment that Adam and Eve ate, the human body and the whole world began to decay. I do find it somewhat ironic if you believe in an evolutionary model of survival of the fittest. Then what we should see happening, honestly, is humans getting healthier because the human genome should be getting better. It should be improving the genetic makeup of humans. But if you look at all the studies about the human genome is getting more and more corrupt. There are more and more issues in our genetic makeup, more and more genetic disorder. And I think it's a reality. Everything is decaying. And I think pain happens in our life, first and foremost, because our world is broken. On top of our world being broken because sin has entered this world, our world is now full of 7 billion selfish people. And we have 7 billion people who think about themselves first. And so you look at things like, well, why do people die in drunk driving accidents? Well, because someone is selfish and wanted to have their own fun, and that killed someone else. Why does murder, rape, theft, all these things happen? Because you have 7 billion selfish people in this world who care about themselves over other people. Romans chapter 3 says this. This is in verse 10. "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good. No, not even one." And there's a lot of people out there on their own effort that can do some nice things, but all of us have a selfishness within us, right? As a parent, you don't need to teach your kids how to be selfish. Parents are like, no, you need to learn how to share. We don't have to teach selfishness. It's something we're born with. And I think a reality for us as Christians and followers of God is, just because we follow God doesn't mean we're free from the effects of the decaying world and free from the effects of 7 billion selfish people. I think a lot of Christians think, well, I'm a Christian, everything should be fine. But no, Christians still get cancer. Christians are still killed by drunk drivers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 talks about how God causes the rain or blessing to fall on both the good and evil people. And in the same way, the painful effects of this world happen on both good people and bad people. You know, Jesus promised us even hard things and issues would happen. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says this, "I have told you these things," he's speaking to his disciples, "so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus doesn't promise us an easy life, but I do think this verse leads into the second point that I think we need to remember as we look at the topic of pain. The second thing is, this world is not our true home. The reality for believers in Jesus Christ is that one day we will be with God in heaven. And no, I don't think heaven is a place where we'll have harps and we float around on clouds. I think it's much more physical than that. And we could talk a lot about that, but just to be really focused, Revelation 21 verse 4 says this about heaven. "He," this is God, "will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." God says that pretty much the same thing in Isaiah 25, verse 8, same analogy. But you'll notice that all pain is gone. All these questions about the problem of pain are kind of answered because there will be no pain in heaven. It wasn't part of God's original design, and it won't be part of his final design either. So why do we still have pain today? Well, this world is fallen and broken. We're kind of in the in-between, between God's original design and his final design. That being said, I do believe God can use our pain for good. This is kind of the third thing I want you to know, that God is a redeemer, and God can use our pain for good. A commonly quoted verse as we talk about this would be Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that in all things," not just some things, but all things, "God works for good for those who love him and have been called according to his promise." Again, God doesn't just say some things are good, but God can work everything for our good. Now, God isn't saying that all the situations in our life are going to be good, and God also doesn't define good by our human definition of good, but everything he can work for our good and will work for our good. And what I think God means by that is this. God doesn't say cancer is good, but he can use cancer to teach us and grow us and shape us. He can use it to bring people to salvation. And again, his definition of good isn't the same as mine. My definition of good is I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, everything's easy, I get time to just kind of do the things I want to do. But God's definition of good is he wants to grow us. He wants to help us know him better. We talked briefly last week about the topic of discipline. Discipline is painful, but it's for our good. And honestly, God doesn't promise that I'm going to understand how it's even for my good here on this earth. I may not know the answer of how it's for my good until I get to heaven. You see a lot of examples of God using hard things for good in Scripture, kind of most notably Joseph. Remember, he was sold into slavery by his brothers, and then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and it ends up in an Egyptian jail. And he goes from being a beloved son of his father to in an Egyptian jail. Then God raised him up. He becomes second in command. A lot of you know the story. Then his brothers come, and there's kind of the whole reunion and all that sort of stuff. And finally, at the end of his life, remember, for years he's been in prison. He's been dealt hardship and hardship and hardship. At the end of his life, he finally sees it. Joseph said to them, and this is Genesis 50, verse 19. He's talking to his brothers. "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph here, at the end of his life, got to see how God used a lot of hard and painful situations in his life for good. And I pray the same thing is true for, will be true for you, that you can see how God uses some hard things for good. But we may not ever know that. We may not know it until we're in heaven. God never explained to Job, if you look at the story of Job, God never explains to Job why any of it happened. At the end of Job's life, he's just like, hey, I'm God. I need you to trust me. We may never know. We're not promised to know, but we are promised that God is doing something for our good. One of the ways that I think God has used a lot of hard things in my life for good is to then be an encouragement to other people. We read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." First of all, he talks about how God is a comforter. So in the hard things that I go through, God wants to comfort me. He wants to be with me in that pain. "Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." Again, what I hope you see from here is, first of all, God is our comforter. He doesn't say he's taking away our problems, but providing comfort in them. But second, I hope you see that part of the reason you and I go through pain is so that we can help other people as they go through similar pain. I have seen over and over how God has used the hard things in my life to be an encouragement and to help other people. I mean, to be honest with you, I hated, I really disliked middle school. I had a really hard time when I personally was in junior high. And God has used that to give me a compassion and give me a desire to work with you guys and an excitement to work with you guys. Final thing I hope you saw from those verses is it says that our comfort abounds through Christ. You see here that the comfort we receive is through Christ. It's coming back to this whole concept that we're talking about, how Jesus is the answer. Now, I'm not saying that it was necessarily worth it for you to go through those hard situations, but God is still using those for good. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times you see on the local news or something like that, some mom is grieving over her son who was killed by a drunk driver, and they've started some new program to encourage people not to drink and drive, and her son, and the mom will say something like, well, if we can save just one other life, his death will be worth it. No, you know what? It's still a sad tragedy. It's still a loss of human life. God isn't saying, hey, I'm going to make it worth it for you. But we're still dealing with the painful effects of sin in a fallen and broken world. But he does say, I can work those situations for good. The final thing, truth, I would want you to remember is, as we talk about the issue and problem of pain, is the absolute worst thing happened to the absolute best person in order to bless you. And what I mean by that is the absolute worst thing happened to Jesus Christ, the absolute best person, in order to bless you. See, he was beaten, he was mocked, he was spit on, he was nailed to a cross, he died there. Even though he was perfect, faultless, without sin, selfless in his whole life, in order to bless you, in order to give you and me life. See, bad things, hard things cause us to doubt the goodness of God. And when we're dealing with those hard things, we need to remember the truth of the gospel. We need to remember John 3:16, "For God so loved you and he so loved me that he sent his one and only son into this world to die." God gave his one and only son for you and for me. That was a demonstration of his love for us. You know, as it talks about in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died in your place, in my place. And it was the worst thing to happen to the best person in order that I could have life and that you could have life. And if I doubt the goodness of God, I need to look back to the cross. Jesus is the ultimate demonstration of God's love for us. And if you are struggling to trust God's love because of the hard things that happened in your life, man, I understand they are hard. I'm not minimizing those in any way, shape, or form. But remember, God loves you enough that he was willing to die for you. And if he was willing to die for you, he's probably worth trusting. You know, one of the reasons I believe the Bible and what the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, recorded about the life of Jesus and what Jesus said is if we look in history, all of the disciples were either tortured or executed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And if anyone knew the resurrection was a scam, it would be the 12 disciples. One of them would know. One of them would be the ones that was like, hey, we stole his body, we hid it. One of them would know, like, hey, this is a scam, or know that Jesus didn't really appear to them. And if you're about to be tortured, if you're about to be executed for something, you're not going to let yourself be executed for a lie. They would have known if the resurrection was true or not, and every one of them was tortured or executed for their faith. And not one of them was like, oh, you're right, man. You know what, you're right. We took Jesus' body. We hid it over here. It's all a lie. No, they all died for their faith because they knew that God loved them enough, that God was good enough, and God had enough power, all of those things, because they witnessed the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life that he wants us to have. And they're like, this isn't just some made-up fairy tale. This is a fact. And when I struggle with, God, are you good to me? I can't tell you how many times I've been like, God, I'm just so fed up. I'm frustrated with this, that, or the next thing. And I'm reminded of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That God loved me enough that he died on a cross for me. God loved you enough that he died on a cross for you. And I'm like, you're right, God. I can't doubt your love for me. Because you died for me. It doesn't mean your situation is easy. It doesn't mean there's not real pain there. But God cared enough about you to die for you. And he's saying, hey, would you trust me today? I would encourage you guys, if you're struggling to believe, hey, God, are you really trustworthy? Or even if you're just kind of thinking about this, kind of the problem of pain, I would encourage you this week with your small group leaders to say, hey, what's a time where you have really seen God been faithful or taken something that's really hard and turned it for good? How do you know that God loves you? Ask that to your small group leaders. Ask your parents for stories where they've seen God use hard situations for good. Hear some of those stories because we need to be reminded of it. God is at work. I'd encourage you to listen to the Youth Hope video this week. Where you hear the testimony of Charlotte Kimmel, who works with the senior high girls. It's a great story where you see, hey, this is a really hard situation, but even in it, we see the goodness and faithfulness of God. Now, those are four truths that I would want to share with any Christian who's asking me, talking to me about some of the pain and some of the hard things in their life and why has God allowed it. Well, like I did last week, I just want to kind of change gears a little bit. And this is how I would answer a non-Christian if I was talking to them and they were talking about some of the pain and some of the hard things in their life and why they're struggling to trust God. Man, I'm so sorry to hear that. I just got to say, man, I'm grieved. I'm grieved for you. I'm sad for you. It's just wrong, messed up. And I know, man, that pain is real. I'll never be able to totally relate and understand what you're going through. But man, that pain is real. And I'm sorry for that. And unfortunately, I think it's one of the realities of the fallen and broken and messed up world that we live in. Junk happens in this world. And there's no kind of getting around that. But if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to share something with you that I think gives me a lot of hope in the middle of the junk. It doesn't remove the pain and make it all magically better, but gives me hope in the middle of pain. And that's this. You know, I believe every human being on this planet is messed up. All of us have done things that are wrong. All of us are broken. I mean, shoot, I think physically I know I'm broken. I mean, you know, as I get older, my bones are creaking and aching a lot more than they used to. I know I just don't even live up to the standards that I want to live up to. And I think all of us have done things that are wrong and messed up. And I draw a lot of what I believe from the Bible, what I believe is God's word to us. And the Bible makes it really clear that because of the things that humans have done wrong, we've really messed up this world. God, I think, designed us for a perfect place, and he has another perfect place designed for us, for our futures. But we've really done a lot of things to mess it up. You just look at human history, man. There's a lot of mess that we have created. But God didn't just like create us and say, you're in a mess. I'm just going to leave you there. I believe that God wants a personal relationship with you and wants a relationship with you for all of eternity. And because he is a perfect God, the things you've done wrong and the things I've done wrong have separated me from God. But because God wanted a relationship with you, I believe he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, into this world to live a perfect life, to die on a cross for you and for me, to pay for this penalty for all the sin that I've ever done wrong, and to rise from the dead to give life to anyone who would believe in him. You see, if this hand here is me, and my wallet here represents sin, represents the thing I've done, the things that I've done wrong, and this is Jesus, okay? I believe that Jesus came into this world and he died. And when he died, all the things that I have done wrong, all the things that were creating a barrier between me and God are now placed on his account. And so now I have no barrier, no hindrance to my relationship with God. It all got transferred to him. And God says, when I believe in what he has done, not when I've done a whole bunch of good things to make up for it. He makes it really clear there's no amount of good things that I can do to make up for the things I've done wrong. But when I believe in him and what he has done for me, he says all my sins, past, present, and future, are paid for. They're put on Christ's account so that I can have a relationship with God now and have eternal life with him in heaven. And in the book of Revelation, it says, in the 21st chapter, it says, that in heaven there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. You know, the situation you're going through right now, man, that is really hard. And I'm not trying to minimize it at all. But what gives me hope is knowing that God loves me enough that he died for me now. That I could have a relationship now and I'm going to spend eternity with him. And I have a hope for that eternity that's coming in the future. And I have a peace because he's with me right now. And I want to encourage you today to believe in that hope. Now, that's what I would share with a non-Christian. And again, that's the same thing I would hope you believe today. You know, as we're going through a hard time, and some of you might be loving everything that's going on right now. Hey, no school. This is great. I would just play more video games and having fun and a great time. Others of you are really struggling with it. I would pray that you would know these same four truths apply to where we're at right now. Number one, we are in a fallen and broken world. COVID is a result of that. Two, this isn't the world we're designed for. God has an eternity that we are to have our hope in. 3, God can use our pain for good. I think God is revealing things. He's teaching a lot of people right now, changing people right now. He can use even this for good in the way it sets a foundation for your life. He's at work. And 4th and finally, if you're ever doubting the goodness of God, look no further than the cross, where the worst thing happened to the best person, so that you and I can have hope. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for the hope that I have, that we can have because of you, Lord. It's not because I'm righteous, not because I've done anything good, not because I'm awesome, but because you are good, because you cared so much for me that you sent your one and only Son into this world to die on a cross for me, Lord God. And I just give you praise and I give you thanks for that, Lord. And I pray for anyone who's just really struggling to believe that promise, believe that you're good today, Lord God. Would you just remind them, would you remind me of the cross? Would you remind me of what you've done for me by dying for me, Lord God? And may I just put my hope and my confidence and my joy in that today, Lord God. You are good, and you demonstrated that to me by dying for me and rising to give me life. God, may my hope and confidence be in that today. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. You know, that prayer that I just had, I got to say, that's one I pray very frequently. That, man, God, I'm really struggling with how I'm feeling today. Remind me of your love demonstrated through the cross. Pray you guys have a great week. Hopefully I will see you soon, and hope you can join us this Wednesday for small groups. See ya.